You heard that concern about power brokers in the back room. That is one way to think of Democratic superdelegates. One of the architects of that Democratic system has been helping us to understand how the system works. Tad Devine is a Democratic strategist who helped to write party rules in the 1980s, so he knows the story of one past contest when superdelegates made a difference. In 1984, Walter Mondale's running for president against Gary Hart, running for the Democratic nomination. You were around. What did the superdelegates actually do?
Well, here's what they did. There were three waves of movement of superdelegates in 1984. There was an early wave of movement that endorsed Vice President Mondale really before the voting started. There was a second wave of movement of superdelegates after the voting started. And again, most of them went to Mondale. But the third and most significant wave of superdelegates was effectively after the nomination was decided. You know, Walter Mondale defeated Gary Hart by more than 600 pledged delegates. He had a big pledged delegate lead. Obama's only about 150 pledged delegates ahead today.
Mondale did better in the primaries than Obama has done.
That's right. He won a lot more delegates. The popular vote total was close between the two of them, although Mondale had more popular votes. But the pledged delegate total was much bigger, the difference between Mondale and Hart. And so in the end, on the final day, actually, because Mondale had pledged to go over the top of the nominating majority on the final day, he was about 40 delegates short the day before. So we came together on that morning after the last day of voting as a campaign, reached out, found every superdelegate we could, convinced them to speak to Vice President Mondale. He did so. He spoke to about 50 or so that day. 40 of them pledged support for him that morning, and he went over the top by noon the next day.
So this is a situation where, like 2008, the guy who was leading did not get an absolute majority of delegates without the help of superdelegates, but it was a big enough margin that people didn't feel that was terribly controversial.
That's right. I mean, I think Mondale had essentially won the nomination decisively. And, you know, it's pretty hard to win a nomination in a contested race and almost impossible to win without the superdelegates.
Okay, if you're a superdelegate, what are the dangers now?
Well, I think the danger is if there's a public perception that these superdelegates have somehow gone against the will of the people. And I think some of our party leaders, like Speaker Pelosi, have talked publicly about this, that there could be a lot of backlash to that. So I think the superdelegates have to be careful. They've got to make sure that whatever they do so in a very public and transparent way. They do so with good reason. They have justification for whatever choice they make. And I think in the end, and it may be that we wait until June before this is really clear, they are likely to move decisively to one candidate or the other.
Let's talk about timing. Is there a strong argument for superdelegates to get together as party elders and just end this campaign somehow as quickly as possible?
Absolutely. And I think the timing is the critical issue. I think there'll be a tipping point in this nominating contest. And like a lot of things, we'll know it when we see it. What's most likely to happen is we'll continue to have this seesaw battle where he wins his state, she wins hers. We get to the end. He's ahead in pledged delegates, perhaps still ahead in popular vote. And I think that will be the moment that the superdelegates say, we need to pull this together because if we don't come behind somebody, we're going to squander this whole summer. We need the time to put our party together and to take on John McCain.
Let me ask about a different kind of tipping point then. What is the point at which it might become clear that this race has done so much damage to the Democratic Party that their prospects are seriously diminished this fall?
Well, I think if both of our candidates begin to have high unfavorability in national polls.
And they're going up, aren't they?
Well, Hillary's has gone up, and Obama's gone up a little. Hers has gone up more. But if that begins to happen pervasively, if they start losing decisively to McCain in horse race polling, particularly in battleground states, we've seen signs of this, but I don't think that's what's happened. I think this process has been good for Democrats. In 1980, we had a bitter battle for the nomination of the Democratic Party. It was driven by ideology. Senator Kennedy had completely different programs for this country, like a jobs program, national health insurance, and other policy differences with President Carter, which were deep. We don't have that this time. Yes, they're fighting hard. Yes, they have real differences. But on policy, they're not really divided much at all. So I think we'll be able to put this thing together if the end game is good. And hopefully the superdelegates will be a very positive force in making that happen.
Tad Devine, thanks for coming by.
Good to be with you.
Devine is a Democratic strategist.